time to play ball. Welcome to the podcast with no limits, whether it be sports, current events, or random thoughts. This is the place to step in and stay a while. Your host is a proud alumnus of Rio Hondo Prep, a former minor league baseball umpire, and a man with strong opinions. Welcome to the Get Home Safe podcast and your host, Matt Hersema.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Get Home Safe. It has been a fun week. It's been a fun few years here working the podcast, working all the different dials here, going through the motions, making plenty of mistakes, editing and all kinds of things. But here we are, another episode of the Get Home Safe podcast that has gone through many different formats, many different guests. We've had weekly guests. We've had a different guest every Friday. We've had guests every day at one point when COVID, that whole thing started. And since a few months ago, it's been mostly just me rambling away with rare exceptions. We had a great episode last week with the Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City fans and my good buddies, Jeff Andrews and Carlos Martinez. I hope you guys got to hear that. It was a lot of fun just chatting with those guys. And again, sometimes just catching up with your friends brings back so many memories. And we created a few new ones last week, and I didn't want to step on the toes of the big game and the really get in the way of our two guests. But I didn't mention it last week, but last week, the big Super Bowl show, we could celebrate it today if you like. Last week's show was our 400th episode of the Get Home Safe podcast. We have come a long way, let me tell you. I hope you guys are still liking the show, many different formats. And again, I didn't want to interfere with not just the Super Bowl, but my two great guests. So I didn't mention it last week, but it was our 400th episode last week. And sometimes it's been just me, 30 minutes, getting something in really quick. Sometimes it's been a Bill Barnes episode. Sometimes it's been some great guests, unique occasions. I've done all kinds of things. I'm still have some more things in the future I want to get to, but it's been a fun ride. I think our first, the 100th episode, I think was a tribute to Ken Drain. A lot of his former players calling in, we'll say. The 200th episode, it was me and Mr. John Lee Sr., a very fun conversation, even though my audio, I messed up on that. And then that was one of the last episodes I did with my old laptop. So thank goodness for that. 300th, I can't remember what we did, quite honestly. It's been, over a year ago. It was, since I do these weekly now. I was never good at math. Let's see, 52 weeks in a year, one episode a year. So we should hit this mark once every year, or once every 2 years, I should say. Annually, number year, I don't know. I've already lost track. But 400 episodes, man, that's something to celebrate. Again, plenty of mistakes have been made. As I am no professional, but it has been a blast doing it. That's why I wore the old logo shirt there that we used for a long time. And I remember I was in my car just trying to figure out, I need a logo for this podcast. And I don't want it to be the Matt Hersema podcast because I don't like my name. It's hard to spell anyway. And I don't like things being all about me. So I was like, what would be a good logo? And I was just like, well, Get Home Safe. I kind of live near LA. I talk LA sports. And so I did the LA skyline with the anchor logo there and then Get Home Safe. So that's how that all came about. But now, I think over a year ago, really, I switched the logo to this kind of gray sky so I could put Get Home Safe above me, tribute to the military as well with that gray Iwo Jima, memorial that you see on the entry and all of our platforms. That is our logo. So we've gone through a lot of changes in 400 episodes. This is our fourth season, mind you. And remember, the first year started off not knowing what I'm doing, but had to bring in some guests. Talked to pretty much everybody I knew for a couple of years. Eventually, it didn't go every day, but I went once a week talking to a new guest or some recurring guests. And of course, Bill Barnes, the man, the myth, the legend, the recurring guest. I've done 77 of my episodes with the one and only Bill Barnes. So he is a fan favorite. And I'm working on having Bill on perhaps next week as we recap the Super Bowl and maybe dive into a few other large items of topics and things that have been going around the world here. I mean, we got trains crashing in Ohio with thermal activity going everywhere. We got giant pinatas in the air. I mean, balloons, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's been a wild few months since I last talked to Bill, and he's always fun to bring on the pod. So I got to work on bringing him back. And again, if any of you guys have some ideas for guests, feel free to throw them my way. I can't always make it work, but I definitely put my best foot forward to attempt to do that. So a little later, podcast release this week. I'm trying to do consistently that Wednesday thing, record Tuesday nights, but you know, sometimes things don't go as planned, and that's just life. And so here we are. You guys are going to hear this on Friday morning or the weekend after the Super Bowl, whenever you get to it. But happy 400th episode, not just to me in this podcast, but to the loyal listeners out there. I know there's a handful of you that have listened to every single episode. You probably roll your eyes about me talking about the Rams and the 49ers. You probably disagree with some of my political opinions. You probably get annoyed by my takes, my approach. I know I'm not for everyone, but for the very few of you who've listened to almost all 400 episodes, thank you. I appreciate it. And I know that every episode I do look at and see how many plays, and there are people listening. Maybe it's repeat listeners or people who start the episode and come back and finish it later. But to the loyal listeners out there, I appreciate it so much, because when I started, I was like, who would want to listen to me talk or me talk to other people? But it's been cool to see that so many of you have brought good ideas. And man, 400 and counting. Let's get this thing to 500. Before you know it, we'll be at 1,000. And man, you bring in the Charge to Keep podcast I've been doing. That was a blast last year. That was another 30 episodes, I think. And I'm going to keep that going. Already excited for the upcoming football season and, you know, the baseball, softball seasons as well there for Real Hondo Prep. But happy 400th, everybody, to the Get Home Safe podcast. A big achievement. And every time we get to one of these landmarks, we're going to celebrate it. And that's why I thought, again, had to bring back the logo there of the original, the OG Get Home Safe podcast. Okay, let's talk about the Super Bowl, shall we? It's been a few days. Everyone has calmed down, cooled off. They've gone back to work, got all their vented frustration out maybe Monday and Tuesday, and then they had to be, life goes on, right? And of course, we got to talk about those refs, those darn referees. And I let it breathe a little bit for a reason. Sometimes it's best to step away from the grill, if you know. And if you need to reheat it, you can. You need to throw back on the grill, cool. But it's, you know, sometimes good to step away from that grill, take it off the heat, let it keep cooking inside a little slower, and we'll eventually get there. So here's what I got for you guys. You guys know I support the officials. I usually am here defending referees every chance I get, and we'll try to at least give you a perspective on things. Number one, I did not like the call. I didn't like the call in the moment. You guys know the call I'm talking about, the defensive hold. And for all of these analysts and people that are supposed to know sports, can we stop calling it pass interference? This drives me crazy. Look, if you're supposed to be some, I'm not expecting you to be a so-called referee expert. That's fine. But if you're going to complain about something, can we at least get the terminology right? You sound ridiculous when you're like, that pass interference they called was terrible. It's like, pass interference, what's it called? Well, whatever it's called, it was still bad. Okay. Thank you. Your argument is really good now. Thank you for getting the terminology right. And it's not difficult. I'm not asking you to memorize a rule book. Just look at what the officials called. And maybe some of you guys had too many cervezas. I don't know. But just pay attention, will you? It was a defensive holding call. All right. And again, number one, I did not like the call in the moment. And even after, I'm kind of like on the fence about it, but I'm still like, I didn't like it for many, many reasons that I'll try to dive into. And I have some theories and other analysis of this whole thing. Okay, I didn't like it in the moment because I didn't think it was big enough. And we had a saying, you know, in officiating, hey, get the alligators, let the lizards go, right? Get the big ones, the iffy ones that are kind of like, if you have to think about it, you know, it's not there. You say the same thing with balls and strikes when you're starting as an umpire. Anyway, not up the ladder, but if you got to think about it, it's probably a strike. If you got to think about it, it's probably not a foul, not a penalty, right? That's probably a good method to go with. But in those situations, keep in mind there are seven officials on the field. There are five linemen, one quarterback. There's five eligible receivers, okay, on any given play in football. And there are five different officials assigned to each of those receivers. So there is one official per eligible receiver that is keying completely on them. And the reason it's defensive holding and not pass interference is pass interference, you need a pass, a ball in the air. You cannot grab an eligible receiver before the pass is thrown to restrict his movements or whatever. Okay, so that's why it's defensive holding and not defensive pass interference. Now, someone could say, well, the flag came really late. Well, yeah, because in theory, you want to see everything develop. There's no hurry, right? There's no shot clock for a referee. You can see kind of what happened. Boom. That okay, I think that's a foul. Yeah, he still grabbed him. No, he got free. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that pass was way over. Yeah, he definitely held him. That's kind of the thought process. And how I was, what, 2.5 seconds I just took right there, maybe less. That's kind of the thought process in an official in that situation, because guys, these guys know that it's the Super Bowl. They know it's the fourth quarter. They know how much time is on the clock. Okay. The decision the official made in that moment, you don't have to like, you don't have to agree with, but for most of us who make daily decisions in our lives, at our job, think of how many times you have to make a so-called split second decision. And sometimes you don't feel good about your decision and you know, it's a big moment even, and you're just kind of like, I don't know, but I got him. Yeah. And so again, I didn't like the call. And this is the referee in me speaking out. Now, was there restriction? Yeah. Was there some jersey grab? Yes. What did he take away his feet for a split second? I could see how that was called, but I didn't like it again because I didn't think it was big enough in that situation. Now there's been plenty of arguments here in the past week. And what I just want America to get on the same page on is I need to know which one it is. I need to know if it's one of two things. Is it, and you see this in basketball a lot, right? Because basketball is very subjective in almost every call, unless someone steps on a line or something. Okay. I've heard two different theories from fans and media. One is you can't call that in that situation at that time of the game. You can't do that. You got to know that you just got to let that go. Okay. So that train of thought is there's certain times of a game that you just don't call things. And then which it better be someone lost their head and you have to call it type of deal, right? That 100% of people can agree on. Yeah, that was a penalty. So that's one camp. The other camp is if it's a foul on the first play of the first quarter of the game, then it's a foul at the end of the game. Consistency is key, right? So there's that camp. My problem is those two camps never seem to coexist. There's always, anytime something like this happens, everyone takes either one of those. It's never like just looking at it and being like, nah, I don't think that's there or whatever. It's always people come out with those theories all the time. You can't call that at that point of the game without, you haven't called that all game. Well, that's kind of a third sneaky option is the whole, you haven't called that all game. Well, I'm not saying it didn't, because I didn't analyze every single play of the Super Bowl like maybe I should, but something may have not happened all game until that moment. So that's a possibility too. I want everyone out there, most of you guys who listen, I think, are parents out there. That's the closest you guys are going to come to officiating in your life. And there's times where you have to lay down the law and you haven't had to about something, right? And you're kind of like, I haven't had to do this. They're not going to get it, but we have to say this now, it hasn't come up yet, but boom, we have to do this. And then there's times you're like, hey, I had to nail you again for this. I had to punish you again for this. Just again and again and again. Consistency, right? To train you. So there's different, I don't know, mindsets, levels, whatever you want to call it in officiating. I think the closest thing for a lot of you is parenting. But long story short, I didn't like the call. I would have liked, I think a lot of it is the fan in me too. I would have liked to see them kick the field goal and then to see what the Eagles did, because I knew once the flag was thrown, pretty much the game was over. It was really similar, mind you, to 2018 postseason where the Rams and Saints, very similar situation. Saints are driving. The game was tied. They're going to take the lead. They did take the lead, but had the pass interference not been called or been called, the Saints probably would milk the clock out and then kick the field goal as time expired, right? But the Saints did take the lead. Couldn't play defense long enough. The Rams went up, tied the game, and everyone lost their mind. Oh, can you believe that the Saints? Anyway, so in so many of these situations, I feel like you're darned if you do, darned if you don't, you know, to clean up the language a little bit. I feel that you're better off not making a call, a close call, than to call something that maybe everyone is like, oh man, that's just not big enough. But if we've seen in recent weeks, look at the LeBron situation, the tirade he threw, the tantrum he threw, where he acted like one of his sons was shot there in Boston, you know, and he had only two children remaining. That's how he acted when he got hit on the arm and he lost his mind. How can you not call that? And then there was a scenario of the Duke game. Did you see the Duke game this last week? The basketball game. Duke went to the rack. went up, a big rim rocker, a lot of contact, bodies, hands, everything, right around the buzzer. And originally they called a foul. They went to review and they said, no foul. I don't know if they said it was after the buzzer, whatever it was, but it wasn't a good look. They took that call off. So I think we see so many times, and you hear this amongst fans and media too, again, and myself, you say, you know, hey, at the end of the game, you let them play, stay out of it. And hey, a tough play at the rim in a tie game. Sorry, but we're not bailing you out with a cheap one, right? It's got to be there really. So there's, it brings me to a point that I've thought about this last week. And I know you guys have heard this phrase, just when you're a kid or you're dorking around or whatever, and you hear this phrase, heads I win, tails you lose. Hey, let's play coin toss. Heads I win, tails you lose. And when you're a kid, you might take a second for you to realize that. And I feel like with all of this reaction to officiating all the time and other aspects, which I'll get into, I'll give you some other examples. And I kind of want to play this game for a few weeks. Heads I win, tails you lose. Because I feel like if they don't call something, that probably should have been called. You know, at the end of the day, everyone's just like, you got to get it right. 100% right. All the time. I got 100% on all my tests that I took throughout high school on things that I studied all the time. Yeah. Okay. Good for you. So as far as reality goes, that's not reality. I'm sorry. You may want that. I think perfection in a lot of ways has ruined a lot of sports. I mean, look at replay baseball. Look at that stupid box they have up there now. I mean, people demand perfection. And the perfection is just not a part of the game. It hasn't been a part of that for a long time. Why sports are great is because these guys are striving for perfection, not just the officials, but obviously the athletes who we watch. And we know they can't get there, but we want to see greatness, right? And you may not think officiating is anywhere near what athleticism and competing is and competition. I get it. But I just feel like if officials don't say, for instance, the officials did not make that call in that situation on Sunday night at the Super Bowl. I think there would have been a camp. There would have been a group of people that said, hey, on third down, when the Chiefs kicked the field goal to tie the game, that was an obvious holding. Had they thrown that, then the Chiefs would have ran out the clock and they would have won the Super Bowl. Instead, they didn't call it, and the Eagles then went up the field and didn't just tie the game, but they won the game. They took the Super Bowl from them. There's people that would have done that. And I think it's even the people that are adamantly defending the call, and there's people that are obviously adamantly against the call, and they happen to reside probably in the Midwest and the East Coast regions where there's the disagreement, right, for obvious reasons. But I think with officiating so many times, like, it's heads I win, tails you lose. Like, no official wants to make that call in that game, in that situation. I think they only had like 6 penalties going into that game, and they hadn't thrown a defensive holding, to my knowledge, in the game. And there hadn't really been any pass interference penalties in the game. So that's also what I think frustrated people was the whole, hey, there haven't been many penalties in this game. You guys have stayed out of the way. And then at the end of the game, you want to insert yourself into the game. Well, I do know those officials are truly few and far between. There's nothing worse than when you're in one of those games and you can't be the shortstop as an official who's like, don't hit the ball to me. You just can't have that attitude. You have to have this mindset of like, all right, I'm ready. I've been good. I've been solid. I'm still ready. I'm ready. Okay. Don't call that. And I've always thought some of the best calls in officiating are the no calls. Specifically, you see it in basketball a lot, right? And at lower level, you know, NBA and all that, all above, every little tick, every little tack, sure, you got to blow the whistle, blah, blah. But in other levels of basketball, you're trying to establish a flow and a rhythm and a good product of the game. And so it's kind of like, no, that was a bump. But the ball went in. I can live with that. Nah, that one's good. Bump. Kid missed a shot he should have made. Okay, now I'll come with a late whistle. And people may not like that. Oh, that's a late whistle. But I don't really care what people think. And I'm trying to give you guys some perspective on what the thought process of officiating. That's all. And I'm far from perfect. I haven't officiated in many, many years. I was a marginal basketball official, pretty decent baseball umpire, and probably could have done a lot better with football officiating as well. But I'm not trying to defend the officials in this situation. I'm trying to add perspective. And I think, again, I didn't love the call. I've watched it a few more times, and I've seen people on air and talk from all the different angles. Well, yeah, he tugged him here, and a hold is a hold is a hold. There was restriction, and it's a foul. Letter of the law, it's a foul. And so maybe it was. But there was also a phrase, too, of like, hey, did that fit the game? That was another common phrase in, again, basketball officiating had a lot of these philosophies. Did that call fit the game? Yeah, you're probably right. It really wasn't. There was nothing worse than, you know, a hard play at the basket at one end, and then you pass on it. Then the next play at the other end, similar contact, and your buddy calls something. And you're like, dude, we just passed on something here that we need to try to keep consistent and not call there. So those are the three camps, 2.5 camps, will say. You can't call that in that situation, in that game. You just can't call that. I mean, here's the list of rules I don't want you to enforce. Then there's it's a call from the opening kickoff until the final whistle. You got to call it consistent 100% all the time. And then there's that, well, it hasn't been called all game, so you can't call it. Those are like the three methods that people always dive into. And I guarantee each and every one of you who was critical on Sunday night dove into one of those three. Because those are kind of the three options, I guess. And I myself, if I had to sum myself up, I would probably say I was in that half, that middle area of like, oh man, that hasn't really, it felt like the flag came out of, like, you didn't know the officials were there, and then boom, here it is. And unfortunately, that's the nature of the business, man. That is why those guys sign up. That's why they take the risk. That's why they put all the training in to step off that ledge, to be like, not to be like, hey, look at me, here I am, look how great I am. But just to step up, make a call that maybe you think the game demands. And in that situation, man, right or wrong, it took some guts for that guy to throw that flag. You know what? I'm sorry. Like, it wasn't, you could say it was a bad call. To say it was a terrible call, I'm not so sure you can say that. And there is a difference. There is definitely a difference. A terrible call is like, I hate bringing up the Jim Joyce thing, because I've been watching that live going, what just happened? And bang plays at first base. What would be a terrible call? Okay, you want to say the Rams Saints thing? Fine, if that will make you happy. That was a terrible call. How can they not call that, even though different angles and you know what the officials are saying? Boom, yeah, that looked like bang bang. Some of you would bring up last year's Super Bowl. Oh, they called the holding on Cooper Kupp at the very end. They wanted the Rams to win, blah, 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 blah. It was a similar feeling, right? Anytime a flag comes out in the last few minutes of a big game, people are going to be mad, raise eyebrows, and why could they call that, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm not here to defend. I'm here to throw out my opinions about this whole thing. And I think that when it boils down to it, man, at times, heads I win, tails you lose. And I felt bad. I would have liked to see the game go a different direction. Kind of this anticlimactic ending after an incredible football game. Jalen Hurts played the game of his life. I can't believe the Eagles didn't get any sacks on Mahomes. That was crazy. And I thought some of those plays down in the red zone, the goal line they ran, they had the Eagles number for sure. So great Super Bowl. One of the best ones, I think, that we've seen in recent years. And unfortunately, all anybody's going to talk about is that defensive hold at the end that Philly fans for years will probably be like, that wasn't holding. They couldn't call that. And then Chiefs fans, will just look at their banner and be like, hey, tough break. Super Bowl champs, win some, lose some. So those are my thoughts. I don't know if I talked too long on it or if I gave you any clarity or sanity or whatever. You guys have probably moved on from then. But for the Monday and Tuesday, all I heard about was the call. How could you call that? Oh, and then again, if the national media is arguing about it, that's absolutely a call. You have to call that versus, you can't call that in that situation. Then maybe the call was a little harder than it looked. Maybe if the so-called experts can't agree, then maybe if we take our fan hat off for 1 second, and I watch every game that way, I really can. I can cheer for my team. When I see a call go against my Rams or my team, I just kind of go, oh, I shout, you know, and walk out of the room for a second. I'm never like, how, you know, mad at the referees, but that's me. I'm different. I'm not human. I'm not in a good way. You know, I'm a very different fan type of guy. I just get mad about many things. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the Super Bowl. Other than that last call, it was a fun afternoon for me. Went over to a buddy's house. He had this like two-tone charcoal grill going. He had some asada. He had some chicken. What else? I mean, we had guac. We had all kinds of good stuff. And we started, we had a pretty big breakfast here at the house before we headed over there. A great evening. I got to tell you, we're spoiled here on the West Coast. That 3:30 kickoff is great. I wish the Super Bowl honestly was moved to a Saturday. I really do. I wish if you're going to play it late a night like that, 6:30 on the East Coast. If not, man, push the game up to noon for, I would have no issue having like a 1 o'clock kickoff for us here on the West Coast, the 4 o'clock for those on the East Coast. I can't imagine, man. I've done it once or twice, watching a Super Bowl at like 6:30. It's weird. It's the weirdest thing. And then of course the next day, everyone's like, it should be a national holiday, but, a great Super Bowl. I had a great time. My buddy JC's, and, just a fun time. And, you know, it's like the day after Christmas when it all ends, it's one of the worst days ever. You're like, no more football. All we can do is talk about, you know, free agency and this and that and complain about calls for months. And away we go, and we'll be back at it next September. So another great football season in the books. Everyone is currently undefeated. It was funny. One of the guys at work goes, all right, congrats to the Chiefs. Good luck to everyone next year. Oh, and the Raiders have already been eliminated. So I thought that was pretty funny to all of our Raider fans at work. But it's fresh life for everyone right now, right? You're already looking forward to next year, and maybe there's other things to look at first that we dive into. And I have a few things on my list here that I want to run down for you guys to keep the show kind of flowing here and try not to go too long today. But congrats to the Chiefs. They look to be on their way to really be kind of a juggernaut here. And hopefully someone in the AFC steps up and keeps them down. Otherwise they're going to be in many, many Super Bowls going forward. So I brought up the heads I win, tails you lose thing, because I've seen this a lot in like arguments these days, specifically on like the political side of things. And, you know, a lot of, I've talked to you guys about like language and verbiage and terminology and how big that is for certain sides of the aisle to prove their point or attempt to prove their point. Right. They leave out certain words. They change words. They emphasize words. There's an art to it, and you got to applaud them really. But like, as an example, and I want you guys to maybe send me some of your heads I win, tails you lose arguments, or not arguments, scenarios, because there's plenty of them in life. If you just look around, one that comes to mind is like, let's see, Republicans are racist. Republicans are all racist. They have, you know, they're racist. Okay. All right. Wait, what about all the diversity, you know, amongst Republicans? Well, they just have those guys so to prove that they're not racist. Oh, I get it. So like secret racism, that they're secret racist. Is that what it is? So you see, if you have no diversity, you're a racist. If you have a little diversity, well, that's just because to show that you're not racist. So either way, it's heads I win, tails you lose. Okay. That's the analogy I came up with just for that one there. I'm trying to think of another one that comes, the COVID stuff. Oh my goodness, this is a perfect one. We had all kinds of this, right? Masks don't work, vaccines don't work, lockdowns don't work. None of that stuff works. Why are we doing this? Well, just imagine, we have to do it just so that we're doing something. Yeah, but we don't need to do all that. Look in the other states, and we don't, well, if we had not done these things, how many more people would have died? You see how it's always, there's always a way to turn it so that you win. And that's why when certain arguments, again, this was a big deal in like umpiring sometimes, officiating, I should say, not just officiating, but just confrontations. Some people are very, very good at this. A lot of it's people on like CNN and CSNBC, CS, whatever it is, Communist News Network. They're very good at just flipping it somehow, some way. Either way to fit their narrative. If you bring up, you know, stubborn things like facts or something, they'll just weave it back so that, no, I'm still right about this. We're still going to have masks out there. Well, why? Okay, here, this is a great one. The vaccines and masks. Oh, okay. So why are you got your vaccine, right? Why are you still wearing a mask? Well, because to be extra safe. What if that guy doesn't have his vaccine? He's not wearing a mask. Well, yeah, but your mask works and your vaccine work. To be safe, you don't care about safety. That's the one they always do. And I'm not just talking political stuff here, but that's the one that they'll always do, is they'll accuse you of something They'll bring up, for instance, that statement there. I'll even get it away from politics just to be a little more PC. Matt, are you watching the Women's World Cup? No, I'm not watching. Oh, so you don't care about women's sports? Well, where'd that come from? No, I'm not watching the Women's World Cup. Oh, so you're sexist? Oh, so that's what it is. It's like, no, I don't like soccer, and I don't like any kind of soccer, specifically women's soccer, and so I don't want to watch it. Oh, so you hate women? I'm like, no, you see what they do. Instead of like, hey, how come you don't do that? Because I'd be like, because I think the 15-year-old boys across the street could beat the women's soccer team. That's why. And it's stuff like that's like I would give an opinion or, you know, facts in some cases and counter something. But you get called a name real quick when someone doesn't like your opinion or your take on something. And so if you're able, it's again, it's a talented art form. And I've watched and listened carefully to a lot of people who do this. And we live in this heads I win, tails you lose mentality. The balloon, the floating China spy balloon, you know, that's spying or whatever it was doing to us, probably giving us another virus. And we can't call it Chinese virus because that would be racist. But if you, why didn't you shoot the balloon down over Alaska or over the Pacific Ocean when you first saw it? Well, we wanted to make sure that it landed on, you know, didn't land on people. Well, yeah, but what, the longer you wait, the more whatever it is, yeah, but we want to be safe. We want to make sure. Well, why don't you shoot it down now? What, you don't care? You don't care about people in North Dakota? You don't care if it falls on them? This is, do you see the cycle? You see, heads I win, tails you lose. I'm telling you, it's out there more than you think. If you just pay attention, maybe some of you guys in relationships, in arguments with the old lady, the missus, sometimes this may come up and be like, wait a minute. I get to win a coin toss every now and then. I don't get to lose all of them. Right, fellas? You know what I mean? Don't you wish sometimes that sucker would land on its side? And it'd be like, hey, this game we both lose. Anyway, I'm all over the place today, but it's a thought that's popped in my mind the past few days. Heads I win, tails you lose. And I think it is, it's like, again, for so many people the past few years, they've just continued to play that game. Yeah, okay, heads you win, tails I lose. Yeah, let's flip another coin. Let's flip it again. Oh, let's flip it again. Oh man, this game's crazy. You've won so many in a row. This is crazy. I've lost so many in a row. But we don't pay attention, you see? It's just like, I've always been a big, like, tell me the rules and I'll play by them, whatever they are. Back to officiating. What are we calling at one end versus the other end? Like, you know what I mean? Because nothing will drive coaches crazy, more crazy than inconsistency. What can you tell your kids? What can you not? And there are times, I'm not to dwell on officiating here, but there are times when, you know, one team might foul more than the other. So maybe it is, oh, it's 8-2 in the fouls. Well, maybe because you guys play like hardcore man-to-man defense, full court, like maybe there's that. I don't know. And the other team sits back in a zone. There's factors. So not everything is what it seems. But anyway, think about it. I want to, you guys, I've asked you guys for years to send me emails, messages, whatever, about topics, things of that nature, answer some questions. And I know everyone's busy, but tell me, shoot me an email. Next time you see this, or maybe it pops in your head, heads I win, tails you lose. And that, again, that's coming at you. If you're thinking it in your head, it's like, man, heads they win, tails I lose. Like, however you want to phrase it. I hope you're getting my analogy here with a lot of these explanations. I've tried to give some examples, because so many times someone will throw something out and they don't give an example. And it's like, well, that's useless, right? That's a bend back to the, I don't know, I'll just call it the liberal outlook on things, is you can just call people something. Well, can you give me an example of it? Well, they just are. What? Well, yeah, but why are you calling them that? I agree. If they're bad for whatever reason, tell me. I want to know what they did. What did they do wrong? Well, they're just bad. I don't like them. Oh, okay. So that's ultimately what it is you don't like them. And there's plenty of people I don't like, plenty of teams I don't like. And I mean, I have good reasons for them. Some of you know what I'm talking about, but that's why we're entitled to opinions. But if you're going to promote something as fact, using opinions, using emotions, well, you need to provide some evidence, some details. And I think so many of the news outlets, especially newspapers and news networks. I mean, they're very good at basically saying lies out loud. You know, we need to get everyone vaccinated. Well, how come they don't work? And they could be harming a lot. It could have harmed people. We don't know that, but you can't bring that up. How many, it's driving me crazy now. How many young people have to, I mean, we need to start a tally somewhere. There's been so many young people in their 20s and 30s dropping of heart issues and things. Can somebody explain that to me? I'm seriously looking for an answer, because if you bring up, that needle, that V word, if you bring that up, they'll censor you. And you can't even have the conversation. And again, I thought it was brilliant. Dennis Prager, who I listen to every day, every chance I get, I'm reading his Exodus Bible commentary right now. It's phenomenal. Can't wait to read the other ones. He had a great point. It's like some guy called in and was like, how many, you know, both sides of an issue are telling me they're telling the truth. How do I know who to believe? And he was kind of thought about a second. He's like, well, I would say the one that is trying to censor the other side is probably the side that's lying, because they're afraid of the truth and they don't have valid arguments to provide that they are actually truthful. I thought that was brilliant. And that's, I'm all over the place, I know, but baseball, I have a thing of like, when you're policing the game, that batter and the pitcher dance at times, where the batter's taking his time to get in, he's doing his song and dance, he's not even looking up at the pitcher, he's putting his hand up, and the pitcher's like, pitcher wants to roll. Sometimes the pitcher would like quick pitch a guy. Sometimes a pitcher would do something weird with his legs and like be all fancy to try to deceive the guy. Just total like amateur little league type stuff. And I was always on the side of like, hey, that's not you can do all that stuff, you can play your little games, but this game was meant to be like you versus him, like mano y mano. Can we still say that? Human versus human, whatever. It wasn't meant for you to be all this deception and stuff. Now, there's deception in sports. I get it. But number one, it was unsafe with a projectile and a bat and this and that. And I wanted to be safe as an umpire. But I was just kind of like, that's weak, man. If that's how you got to beat a guy with games and not being straight up with, you know, back to the argument standpoint of things with like facts and logic and statistics or whatever, you just want to win your thing by being loud and obnoxious and you know, throwing not a curveball, because that'd be a good thing in my analogy, but anyway, I'll get off it. But I didn't have sympathy for guys, so I'd be like, no, time, we had time here or whatever. If the hitter was doing his fancy thing, I'd be like, dude, pitch the ball, let's go, like, let's, you know, keep this thing moving. Baseball season's around the corner. Have I told you guys that? Baseball starts up here. Some college local stuff has already started. Good luck to all the teams out there. And to another year of sobriety for me from college baseball umpiring. It feels good. Good luck to all my buddies out there. I'll be watching plenty of ball and breaking down plays and things. But I'm still at peace with this whole off the diamond thing. I feel good about it. I'm focusing on my other walks of life and my job. I have I never want to spill too much of this stuff, but I might have a new adventure I will be partaking in. Nothing serious, more of a fun I'm all over the, what did I say? I was going to say and not extraterrestrial. my words, I'm all over the, I've been driving trucks all day. I'm ready to hit the hay, but extracurricular activities, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but there's some things I may be dipping my toe in and trying out that I think will be a lot of fun. All right, let me bounce around to some subjects here. First of all, Uber driving. I picked someone up at Disneyland, a lady with a small dog. Okay, fine. Nobody. In a stroller. What are we doing, America? What are we doing? You have to bring your dog to Disneyland and then you have to push it in a stroller? I got to start making a list of problems in America. That will be probably top 10, is people pushing their animals in a, what are they called? Strollers. That would be up there. I mean, I told you guys at the beginning of this year, I'm not going to be like, oh, I don't want to offend. No, I'm ready to start offending people. If you do that, you have serious mental issues. I'm sorry. You can't go to Disneyland for a couple hours without your dog. And then if you are going to bring your dog, you put it in a stroller. What? Where do I start? I just saw that, and then it was just so weird. It's so weird. And we're not allowed to call these things out anymore. So that's, here we go. This is a good point. Man, that lady's really weird. Oh, so you don't like dog lovers? You don't like dog owners, Matt, huh? No, I didn't say that. I think that's weird. Oh, so you think she should just drag her pet, you know, on a leash all day? Well, I didn't say that either. They probably shouldn't have their pet at Disneyland because there's other people there. Well, what if everybody bought their pet? Well, so you just think pet owners are stupid. It's like, no, I didn't say any of those things. I didn't imply any of those things. I'm just thinking you bring your dog to Disneyland is very, very weird. Now, that's an opinion. I think it's a correct opinion, but again, it's up to you to decide. But I didn't name call or do any of those things. So that was a great example, I hope. For my heads you win, heads I win, tails you lose analogy. Okay, so I thought that was super, super weird. This was also weird, picking up a dude in Uber. Young guy, I picked him up on the way home from work. He jumps in the car, wearing a mask, of course, so I'm already like on edge. I'm already like, oh, okay, this should be interesting. And he goes, hey, can you drive really fast? I'm really late to work or to practice. I think, was it practice? Yeah, it was some junior college around. I'm really late to practice, and if I get there late, I'm gonna have to run. It's like, okay, so you want me to break the law because you didn't you did not balance your time, manage your time. Sorry, I'm time consumed. You didn't manage your time, and you're afraid, and you want me to help you with this so that you don't get punished for doing something you shouldn't have done, and will probably make you not do it in the future. This all went through my head, and before I went like, yeah, sure. And then I was like, oh, red light. Oh, 30 miles an hour. And this, I was like, listen, kid, I don't want you to have to do wind sprints after practice, but the way I drive will probably end up you have to do that. So don't, when you get in an Uber, don't ask someone to break the law as like the first thing you do. Maybe say, hey, how you doing? My name's Matt. Hey, dude. Hey, listen, I'm having a rough day. Hey, you know what, man? I'm really late. I really could have I know you can't break the law, but dude, whatever you, that's a different approach, right? But when the first thing you say, hey, can you break the law because I'm late and I didn't manage my time and I'm going to get punished for not managing my time, where if I do get punished, then I probably won't do this again in the future. Anyway, those are some Uber tales from myself, and you know, you may find them boring, but I just, my interaction with the public sometimes is just hilarious, and most of my interaction with FedEx customers are awesome. It's just they're happy to, again, me bringing them something. I get a little more entertainment sometimes with Uber passengers to and from places because they're just like, some people just think because they ordered the through the app that they are kings and queens for the day, and it just does not work that way. I had duck rigatoni a few weeks ago at a little restaurant Val and I went to. I had never had duck rigatoni. Phenomenal. Had a great restaurant there in downtown Glendora. I've had rabbit before. I don't know that I'd had duck before. I've had goose before, but duck rigatoni, oh my goodness, little bits and oh, it was so good. Felt like a millionaire eating that stuff, but and definitely spent some money on it too. But so, you know, maybe not something I'll go back to spend a lot of money in, but I got it. Yeah. Duck rigatoni for those fine diners out there. If you see that, give it a shot. Cause it was really, really good. I have a theory. Valerie makes really, really good guacamole. I put it up against anybody. And now some of you out there are like, oh, but I make it even better. My sister, my girlfriend, Valerie makes really good guacamole. It's just solid. And so I went into Chipotle a week ago. And, you know, went in there and you did the whole spiel. Hey, let me get a chicken salad, blah, 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 guacamole. Oh, that'll be $3 or whatever it is. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, would it be uncouth if I brought in like my own guacamole? Like sometimes in these fine, like Italian restaurants, you can bring in like your own wine, I think. And what's your corkage fees? They'll just charge you to pop the wine or whatever. I've never done that, but these are the things I hear. And usually you don't bring your own food or drink to other restaurants, but that's something they do there. And so that's where I got the idea. I was like, what if I got a bunch of Val's guacamole and just had it in like a cup and go to Chipotle? Would you like guacamole, sir? No, thanks. Got my own. And I'm saying food hack, $3 per meal. Let's say you go to Chipotle, I don't know, twice a week. That's 8 times per month. You get guac each time. That's $24, $25. Let's round up and call it $30. I'm just saving money here. And I put her guacamole up against Chipotle guacamole anytime. So food hack, I don't know if it's weird. I did see someone bring their own can of Coke to a restaurant one time. I thought that was kind of weird. Again, not hating, just opinions. I think it was a Pepsi place. So I get it, honestly. If you're a Pepsi guy, vice versa, hey, maybe you do what you got to do. But I was thinking that, like, you guys have like a guacamole corkage fee? Like, how about if we bring our own? It's 50 cents or something like that. I'll still contribute to you, Chipotle, or wherever. What's the one? Qdoba. Ooh, that was in the Midwest. Very similar to Chipotle. And if you like Chipotle, you probably won't. I've never said Chipotle this many times. But Qdoba, good stuff. But yeah, what if we started bringing our own? I mean, times are tough in this economy. I mean, you know, inflation's down, apparently. I don't know. You know, I'm hurting. I swear to every paycheck, I'm just like, where to go? Trying to save money. I think I saved a lot of money this week. And then boom, something hits. I'm like, oh. So it's like, no long guacamole. We made to make cuts around here. We need to conserve. So Valerie maybe should sell her guacamole for like $3 a person or a pound or something. I don't know. But I thought it was interesting. It was a thought of mine as I went in there. I was like, I'm going to bring my own guacamole. I'm going to save money and have a better burrito, better taco, whatever. They're just thoughts. Bear with me. I'm rambling here, I know. If you're still with me this long. Remember, this is our 400th and first show, but we're celebrating the 400th. So, okay, my good buddy, Freddie Montablanco, who just had a birthday yesterday, the 15th. My birthday is Insurrection Eve on January 5th. And Fred's birthday is the day after Valentine's Day, the big V-Day that I know he loves so much. So 215, if you see Fred complaining on Facebook about Valentine's Day, it's actually code for, guys, my birthday's tomorrow. I can't announce it, but guys, I just want praise. All this fake love and nonsense and BS and all that, this is so fake and stupid, and no one should get loved and praised for just a stupid, random, made-up day. It's stupid, man. What he's really saying, if you play it backwards, like the Beatles soundtrack or whatever, it's really saying, guys, my birthday's tomorrow. I'm pretending to be angry and mad and tough. Yeah, I mean, he actually really is. But I also would love it if you guys sent me a gift or wish me happy birthday. And after all my spiel the day before, you then have to turn around and say, happy birthday, Fred, you soulless, angry. What's the word? What did I call him? I call Fred so many things. He's my good buddy. I love that guy. Freddy Montablanco, and to the entire Montablanco and Chavez family out there. Good people. What did I call him? I love art, fake art, or not fake arguing, but arguing with Fred on Facebook sometimes. A tyrannical common sense writer or something. I'm very dry in my sense of humor and responses. I'm very what's the word? Sorry, I'm dragging here, man. Late at night on a Thursday after waking up early. No sympathies, no medals here. We don't work that way. But anyway, I love Fred. And Fred was in my ear the other day as I was, he called me about something. I think we were fighting on Facebook or whatever we did. And he was talking to me, and I went up, I had an earpiece in as I walked to do a delivery, and said, hang on a second. And I went to talk and do the delivery. And FedEx, I was not driving with the headset on. I was just walking to the thing. And I walked up to the door, and the lady didn't speak great English. And she was kind of like, I was trying to get a signature from her. And then Fred started to like speak Spanish in my ear that she couldn't hear, but basically tell like signature, whatever the word is, El signature, whatever. I don't know. So Fred's saying this in my ear. So I said the words, I said signature, first name, last name. And he was saying that phrase, I was hoping. And so she smiled and she signed the thing and was like, okay, have a nice day. I was like walking to my car, and the short walk to my truck, I was at first like, man, that's great. That'd be great to have you in my ear to help me with like customers and Spanish and stuff. And then it took me about 4 seconds. And I was like, no, Fred Montablanco could not be trusted with this power. Are you kidding me? He would ramble off some like inappropriate phrase or some swear. He would say something that I would then repeat to the customer, not knowing that they were bad. I do know a lot of bad words in Spanish and phrases, again, from umpiring baseball. But I was like, man, Fred, this would be great. You could help me out with my job. Oh, no, you can't, because you're Fred. You're my buddy. You're my good pal that cannot be trusted with this power. With great power, Fred comes great responsibility. And I do not trust Fred. I trust him with many things, but with that power, that could have gone south a long way. And I'd be working for UPS before it was all said and done with. So scratch that. I've never had such a good idea and flip that into reality and being a bad idea in like 5 or 6 seconds so quickly. But that was a funny moment there that I had to share on the podcast. And yeah, my good buddy, Fred, if he gives me great ideas. We argue a lot about fun things. A lot of them were just kind of not pretend arguing, but just practicing, we'll say. And Fred is definitely one of those heads I win, tails you lose kind of guy. He's always carrying around a coin like Two-Face there. I'm just kidding, buddy. Happy birthday. You are now 36, I want to say, maybe 35 if you had one of those younger birthdays. Let's see, February, who knows? Do I care? You're 35 or you're 36. You are no longer in your early 30s, Fred. You're in your mid, approaching your late 30s. So it's time to get rolling. Let's go. I love your social media, Dark Knight Rises, the Peruvian Prince of Puente Hills or whatever videos you're doing and stuff. They're very hilarious. They're very funny. I have to comment on them. They're like music videos almost. And I don't know anything about social media. Anytime I post a message or what are they even called? Story. I post stories. I get made fun of by my friends, especially Fred. He's like, what are you doing? You're so stupid. I'm like, dude, I don't know. This is like talking to girls, which I don't need to do anymore. Well, I talk to them, but not the same as I used to. Like now I can be cordial. I can be friendly and there's no pressure. Just back in the day, just throwing stuff against the wall, see what sticks. And so that is, that's what I do with my story. So I shouldn't post a whole lot of things. Fred, you're the master, you're the expert. And hopefully you had a good day and you know, didn't have to do all the chores that I know you usually have to do most days. Happy birthday, Freddie Monteblanco. Differences in women and men. Expecting company. Okay. Your buddy's coming over, fellas. I mean, as long as, you know, the couch looks decent and hey, we have a clear view of the TV. There's some cold drinks in the fridge and I'll be like, well, I guess we'll order pizza or something. That's pretty much all the thought process that goes into, hey, my buddy's coming over. Hey, so-and-so's. Not in the female world. Let me tell you, this is like, hey, so-and-so's coming over. There needs to be an alarm that goes off. Code red. Lockdown. I mean, bars come down. The walls are washed. Brand new things are bought or purchased, new sponges. There are new pillows. I didn't know we need pillows for this or for that. There are new kinds of meals, brand new drinks, wrapping paper. I don't even know what that's for. Stuff comes out of nowhere. You're like, wait, someone's just coming over to watch a 2-hour game. Yes, but I care. I was not mimicking Valerie, just for the record. But it's kind of my observation as to when men are expecting company versus, women. And I am not a monster. I could probably dust more than I do. But, you know, do the dishes, clean the floors. I don't want the bathroom to be hideous. I don't want people to think I'm a slob or my significant other's a slob. So I try to keep things somewhat tidy. But it is rather hilarious, this panic mode that goes in. When it's like, hey, so-and-so's coming over. What? And then maybe we just don't care enough. I don't know. Again, I don't want clothes all over the place, a sink full of dishes. I want cleanliness. Clean and classy was always kind of my approach to things. Because keep in mind, I'm not a handyman by any means. I don't do hardware and all the whatever they're even called. I bought Val a tool belt for Christmas a couple years ago. And she was using it the other day, carrying around some stuff while cleaning. I was very proud and I was helping. I was assisting and I do my ways of some things we're just not good at. I don't mean we as in me and her, but like we as in me and other people. So I find it hilarious. Vacuum, dust, clean. I'm like, is there drinks in the fridge? Is a pizza on its way? Like, really, that's all that matters. Like when our buddies are hanging out, women. No, we need candles. We need brand new pillows. We need new plates. We need no. They were here last time. It's been a year and a half since they were here last. They you can use the same plates. We can use the same forks. Not the same ones unclean, but like the same, like, let's just put out some fresh glasses and, you know, okay, well, I will run the vacuum by. I'm fine with that. But and it's not just the one you're dating or the one you're with. It's that way with a lot of things, I think. My mom used to be big on that. We'd have friends over. Well, I told my mom, me and Sam, we had the cleanest rooms of high school boys in America. I stand by it. I wish we could go back in time and have some kind of contest, because we definitely were the cleanest teenage boys' rooms in the entire country back in the early 2000s. Let me see. Arnold Barbosa. A couple more things here, and then we will be about our day, since I've gone long enough. All right, I'll close with this. You know what would be awesome? As I go to work and come home every day and do other things like this podcast, it would be so cool to have. I talked a few weeks ago about like sideline reporters and how they need to not talk to the coaches at halftime. I think it's stupid. But I think it would be really cool at like the end of your day to have like a sports anchor, like talk to you as you come in. Maybe you got the towel over your shoulder. You're ready to hit the showers, right? Just like the professional athletes. But you're doing a Zoom call or something, or maybe you have a sports anchor there in person, in theory, who's like, hey, Matt, how was your day? Hey, great game today. Great day today, we'll say. It started off pretty early, you know, maybe a little rough for getting to set the coffee off. You started off a little slow, but you really picked it up after lunch. In that second half after lunch, you really picked up your work. You really started to get into rhythm there and get your work done until you ran into an obstacle there after work. You hit some traffic. You had to pick up a few items at the grocery store, but you kept on keeping on. You fought through adversity to get home to this moment right now to a nice dinner. A nice dinner with Lady Valerie. I mean, how do you feel about today and just all the adversity you had to face? Well, you know, you take it one play at a time, and you know, you wake up not really knowing what to expect, and you just hope that you've prepared and practiced long enough to be ready for moments like today. And it's never going to go according to script. That's why you got to have plans within the game plans. So, you know, adjustments were made, and you know, we'll go get them tomorrow. Have a nice evening, and thanks for being here. You know, I wish. That's how our days ended. Women and men are very different, and no woman would ever think of that. And most women are like, hey, how's your day? Me? I'm usually like, yeah, it's fine. Or like, what are you thinking about? And it's usually either nothing or stuff like that. And I'd be like, that'd be a way cooler way to ask how your day was. How was your day today? And I wish it was kind of in that sports format, you know, disrobing, got the towel over your shoulder. Maybe you're at the microphone. Just like this, like the Super Bowl, like they're always leaning over, answering questions, leaning into the mic, answering stupid questions they don't want to answer. You don't want that. You want to kind of, you'd be a lot in a better mood after a good day versus a bad day, of course. But these are the random things I think about when I got to talk in front of a microphone for 45 minutes a week or an hour, whatever it is. I'm like, you know, it'd be a lot of fun instead of just saying my day was fine, actually going into it, getting at blitzed. Blitz some questions about it in a sports reporter format and closing out the day that way. Able to do it again tomorrow. That's how you make all this repetition of life worth it. On to the next game, on to the next team, next opponent, next pitch, next game. Let's keep this thing rolling. All right, guys, enough for me. Thanks for listening to the full hour of the Get Home Safe podcast. I'm done. I need some water. It's been a long day. It's time for me to answer those questions from that random sports reporter. That is coming on the Zoom, the big screen here in a few moments. And I'll answer those questions and then get to bed, get my Tom Brady type of rest, and wake up bright and early and do it again next time. Thanks for tuning in. Love you guys. Bottom of my heart to you, you loyal listeners. You know who you are. Can't thank you enough. And to 401 episodes now, let's make it 500. Let's get this thing to 1,000. And you'll hear more randomness and crazy ideas and just overall insanity, really, from the one and only Matt Hersema. I don't like saying that in a third person, but 15 MPH here. What? No, I can't see. I can't do that stuff. This is why I have a title. Get Home Safe. It's nice and smooth, easy, and flows like I don't. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. And guys, as always, no matter what you're doing, whether out on the town or round in third base, get home safe.